Again, church, we miss you today, but we're glad for our team that works so hard in kids ministries and production and cafe and all the teams. We're just so hopefully you're enjoying this Sunday. For those that are home, hopefully you're recharging a little bit. Again, I just love that we flex, we roll with this stuff, and we roll with the punches. We are a flexible church, and I'm so thankful for that, and really glad you've joined us today. Today's a great day, but tomorrow is a really big day. Tomorrow is Nancy's birthday. And I don't know if you can pick up the death stares I'm getting online from the front row, but I'm just really excited to celebrate you tomorrow. I celebrate you every day, but I was thinking about it this morning and last night, but I just wanted to say how much I love you. And I'm so thankful for another year with you. We're at that age. That's how old you're like. Not the age. There's ages. There's levels to this thing, people. There's that age where you like start checking the obituaries because you know people. We're not that age. But we're at the age where it's like, I'm glad we made it another year, kid, of living and life together. And I'm thankful for another year with you and your love for Jesus, your love for our family, and your love for his church is beautiful. And we are better. Thousands are better because of your life, and I'm excited to celebrate you tomorrow. Happy birthday, girl. I love you so much. And then we announced it already, but next Sunday, Miracle Moments. I kind of just encourage you online and in this room to let your faith build for next Sunday. And our faith is not in works or in trying to create an atmosphere, but I do believe in making room and making a place and for your faith to build this week in prayer. Our prayer rooms on Monday night and Friday morning are going to be aimed towards building, preparing for that moment. But can I encourage you, if you're a praying type, would you pray this week for that those moments? And let's believe together. And then again, if you need prayer, there's something God reaches in and meets our humility. And Scripture is full of people who pushed past their own image and their own maybe pride or maybe even their own need and said, I need to get a miracle from God. And they pushed in and believed that if they could get a moment with the Master, they could get a miracle. We're believing for next weekend for some miracle moments. And we love counseling and we love helping financial needs and we love all the practical things and we will do that as a church and we have done it. We will do it. But make no mistake, we believe that God can step into moments and we just don't want to just make you comfortable in your middle of your need. We want to believe for a miracle. And we're going to believe for miracles next week. So come on, stir your faith for that. Next Sunday, we're going to believe for miracle moments. It's going to be so good. Today, we're starting a new series called Keys. And I'm honestly anticipating, great anticipation for this series. I believe it's healthy for us as a church. I think it's going to be so powerful for us as a church. A new series called Keys leading up to Easter. But this will be a series that we actually dip in and dip out of throughout the year. And you're going to hear more in a minute why. But this series, we're starting this week leading up to Easter. But even during the year, we're going to jump into it this summer a little bit. We're going to jump into the fall. We're going to jump into the series in and out on this series called Keys. I think God's going to encourage you today as we launch this series. Let's pray today. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for those that are watching live or those that are watching this during the week, Lord. And I even pray for those that are watching today that just tuned in for this because someone shared it on their social or they came upon this maybe even years later. I just pray that there'd be a moment right now that you'd reach through technology and distance and all that and just do a thing today. Holy Spirit, we love you. Thank you that you are powerful and you are moving and helping us. Jesus, we love you and we thank you for these moments. And everybody said, amen. We're leaning into a new season of growth as a church. And it's interesting, this word came across my spirit as we're getting ready to launch our group's season and called it a growing season, but we're in a season of growth as a church, and we're leaning into that, and there's something in my spirit, and I know as a church we've always been growing, but I feel like there's an anticipation, but also a preparation in this season that I have not felt, I don't think, in the last 6 years. Our prayer rooms are growing, and when I say growing, I don't always mean numerically, though they are. There is a presence when we make time for prayer. And many in this room in person, some of you have experienced the prayer rooms. And what I love about the prayer rooms is there's no pressure to attend. This is not one of those things of get to the prayer room. It really is an authentic place. But something's happening in our prayer rooms on Monday nights and on Friday mornings. There's a real desire to connect, and God is teaching us how to pray. I will say this as one of your pastors. I would trade everything I know about prayer for what I don't know about prayer. I have so much to learn, but God is helping me. And I said to Nancy, this was a week. This was a week. And I was like, I got to get to that prayer room. I just needed to get to that prayer room. And I just tell you, I leave here every single Friday morning better than when I walked in. And but we're in a season of growth. We're in a season of growth in small groups. They launched this week. And we have 14 or 15 small groups launching. And that what they're focused around, I honestly believe, and the leaders believe, that they will be a season of growth, that we're going to walk out of these stronger as men, as women, as singles, as couples, as youth. We're going to walk out of these stronger. We're in a season of growth. Our services are in a season of growth. If you've been attending our services, numerically we're in a season of growth, but we're also, there's something happening with a people's craving and desire for the things of God. And we've said this saying, we didn't come up with this, we've heard it around a lot, but we've been using it a lot privately among staff, but there is no formation without repetition. And something's happening as we just repeat this hunger for God and going after God with our worship and our prayer and with the messages and even our desires to follow Jesus in radical ways. There is something, that's a formation that's happening with that repetition. We're changing as a church. I want to encourage you to lean in. But here's the question I had today. What about you? Are you in a growth season with your faith? Because we're all in this together, amen? Production team's looking at me today. We're crammed in this office. We got production team. We got worship. We have people here in church. We're all in this together. Are you at home, a part of our church? Hundreds are called Nova Home. We're all in this together. We love being together. But we're all in this together by ourselves. You ever realize that? Like at the end of the day, when you go home, there is no worship team. There's no Alex. There's no Matt. There's not, come on, leave me in worship this morning at home when you're going through it. There's no production team just kind of like, hey, let's make this work. And there's pads happening and sounds happening. And it's like, you know, the cafe is not at your house. I wish they should do deliveries. I wish Nova Cafe. But we're in this by ourselves and we come back together, but we're by ourselves. And I've realized your faith is like that. Let me ask you, how are you doing in your faith today? Are you in a season of growth? And I believe you can be. I do believe in the divine momentum of the Holy Spirit, but I also believe in the seeking of the kingdom of God. And there's these miracles that happen that God will interrupt your life, and some of you, God has done that in this room where you weren't looking for God, you weren't trying for God, you weren't hungry for God, and he just came in and blessed you. But most of my life has been, I need to turn my heart towards him. The Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God, then these things will be added. And there's something about that, and I just want to encourage you that we are in a season of growth, prayer rooms, small groups, services. But I want to ask you about yourself. I think what God wants to do, I know what God wants to do, but I think we can respond to it, is personally increase our spiritual capacity. Capacity is so much. You ever feel overwhelmed? Overwhelmed is because you're at your limit of your capacity. There's been seasons in this job I feel overwhelmed with information and meetings, and I feel overwhelmed. And there are two choices, either lower what I'm dealing with or increase my capacity. I do know this, that God wants to increase our spiritual capacity. I believe next week is a part of that. I believe small groups is a part of that. I believe what God wants to do through this series is a part of it. It's this series called Keys. Keys are interesting. Keys unlock things and they give you access. You have keys. I love it when my son became a driver and we gave him, hey, here's your set of keys. Which is, if you don't have a prayer life, you get one at that moment when your kid starts driving. I know some in this room have started driver's ed, and you're starting, it's like there's a whole other level of prayer in this room. But keys give you access to things, don't they? And there's digital keys, man. I was just recently traveling, and my hotel room had digital keys, which I didn't like. I consider myself a tech guy. I do not like that. I just need the key where I can just tap it on the door. But keys give you access. And I was thinking about my key ring. This is actually Nancy's key ring, but this is the key to our car. And I'm so close to it, I could probably lock it from here or set off the alarm if I wanted to. But that gives us access to our car. And I'm going through my key ring. I'm like, I haven't even looked at these for a while. And this key is the key to the back door of this office, right at this door. We have a lot of keys. And this key here is to the front door of our house. So if you get this, you get everything, right? You get the dog. You take the dog out, feed the dog. Cooper, we love you if you're watching online. That's key to our house. This key is to our mailbox. Nothing comes in the mail anymore except flyers. Even the bills come digitally now, right? Like, I don't even know why I go to the mailbox. I'm like, all right, another Leon's flyer. Leon's, does that exist? Lord, we need that building in Jesus' name. But anyway, I go to the mail. Once in a while, you ever get a handwritten letter? It's just like amazing. There's this couple in our life. One has actually passed away, this older couple. And for 15 years, they send us cards for our birthday and our anniversaries. And that's the only letters I get anymore. But I have a mailbox key. And then this key here is for the front door of the office. This key is for the middle door of the office. And I was thinking this morning, I have no idea what this key is for. None. But I will not throw it out. Why? Because I'm going to be somewhere at some point, locked out of something, going, I wonder if this is the key. It might be for my parents' house. I don't know. This could be, I have no idea what this key does. But I will not throw it out. Why? Because I know keys give us access. Today, I want to talk about this series of keys. And in Matthew 4, it's interesting. I'm not going to go there in scripture today. But in Matthew 4, you know it well, Jesus was baptized. He was launched into ministry, and then the Spirit led him into the desert. There, he fasted and prayed, and he was storing up and getting strong before he started his ministry. And so many times I saw the desert as a testing, like God goes, let me see how strong you really are. Let me beat you down. Let me wear you down. Let me get you down, and then we'll see. It wasn't that. He retreated to a private place to build himself up. He got himself strong in the desert. It was like a Holy Ghost spa. It was like a Holy Ghost time of way. It was like a boot camp to get himself strong. And in that time, it says that he fought the devil. He had this fork in the road where the enemy came to him just before he launched into full-time ministry. Knowing the devil knew at that moment, Jesus was going to be on a path to building a leadership team, going to the cross, forgiving us of our sins, raising from the dead. Or if he could distract him and delay him, maybe he could change his whole plan. And at this fork in the road before Jesus started, the devil came to him and said, okay, hey, by the way, you don't need to go through all this. You don't even need to die. I can give you all of this right now. And there's this fork in the road. And if you read it in Matthew 4, it's this powerful time in scripture. It's interesting as this battle unfolded, this divine heavenly battle that folded that would affect eternity. It's interesting that Jesus didn't use experiences to combat the enemy. Right. Now, I say that because I use experiences. And I believe experiences are powerful. In fact, in Revelation, it says we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Listen, there's something powerful about telling your story. But it's interesting to me that Jesus didn't in that moment, when confronted with temptation and another way out and an alternate plan, he didn't go back to, you know, let me tell you the story about when I was born. There was these leaders from other countries that came and they followed a divine symbol and sign of a star and they came to my birth. And let me tell you the story about how I was rescued from being massacred by the king of the time when every other two-year-old boy was wiped out. Let me tell you what God did for me. He didn't quote experiences. The other thing that Jesus didn't do, he needed to unlock more power. He needed keys to unlock new levels. He didn't go after quoting other people. Like you think about it, he could have quoted his mother. His mother is a pivotal person in our faith. Mother Mary, the Virgin Mary, I'm sure he learned a lot from his mother growing up. He didn't say, my mother says I'm called by God. He didn't say, my mother told me that when you're going through something, God will make a way. He didn't quote, my mother told me about when the angel came to her and told her about my life. Let me tell you what God said to my mother. She told me the story. Let me tell you what God said to my mother. He didn't quote experiences. And he didn't quote other people. What did Jesus do? He quoted scripture. He kept saying, it is written. Jesus understood that there are keys of power. And some of you in this room and some of you online, you feel locked out of your spiritual growth. You hear me say that we're in a season of growth, and you're like, I feel nothing. I've been numb, and I've been stuck for a while. I feel like I'm outside of a party looking through the window going, I know I'm invited in, but I just can't get past this wall. You feel locked out. And some of you feel locked out. You feel stuck in the same place. I need you to know, you feel like you lost your keys. Or you feel like you weren't given to lose your keys. We now have a code on our door that you can push in case we lose our keys. Remember the old days underneath the front mat? How many here has still have a key under the front mat? Do not raise your hand. This is on the internet. People will know. But, you know, there's nothing worse than being locked out. And some of you feel locked out of your spiritual growth. If Jesus, being God, used scripture to fight devils and access new levels, how much more should we know, use, and rely on the word of God? I use experiences so much. When I'm battling it, going, God, you were faithful to me when I was 15, and you dealt with and you called me then. And when at 19, when you literally gave me a dream for my life, I quote experiences all the time. I quote people. I quote my mother. She's in this room today. And she has this great quote that we quote as a family. Whenever we're doing something hard, like our daughter's learning how to drive, and she has this quote, I'm going to say it. She goes, my mother always said, I was learning to drive a standard. Standards were these things we used to drive, these cars. And did you know only 4% of all cars in North America now are standards? But anyway, I learned to drive on a standard, and my mother told me I couldn't do it. She goes, think of all the stupid people that know how to do this. If you know my mother, that's so her. But we use that on our kids when it's something difficult. Think about all the stupid people that did this before you. Our daughter's learning to drive. We're like, think of what Nana says. Think of all the stupid people that know how to drive, right? I quote people all the time. I quote pastors and leaders and podcasts. I quote great authors and great leaders. I quote team members and I quote people. But there's something about scripture. If Jesus used scripture to fight devils and access new levels, I want to encourage us as a church that there's something about scripture that is a key. And we want to put keys of scripture into your life to help you unlock new levels of faith in this season. Now, we're a church that reads the Word of God. We're big on the Word of God. We give away Scripture. We preach from Scripture. But I felt in my heart to go to another level. And you're all going to be at a point of decision today of what you want to do with this. Now, I was growing up, my mother and my father paid us to learn Scripture. And because they understood the revelation in their life of what the Bible will do in your life. And we're not paying you to learn Scripture. Don't even, we'll pay you with coffee. Just come to church. But we want to help you unlock it. In Romans 10:17, it says this, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And we need your faith to rise. I need my faith to rise. And the Bible says that when we hear the word of God, not experiences, though it's good, not quotes of others, which is powerful, but when we hear the word of God, something in our spirit attaches to it, and faith comes by hearing the word of God. So here's what we're going to do in this series. That's going to happen over the next couple weeks, 4 to 5 weeks, but also throughout the year. We're going to dip back in and dip out of it and dip into it. We're going to introduce a verse, one key verse that week that we believe is a key to growth. And we're going to challenge you as a church. We're committed to this. We want you to be committed to this, to memorize it, to repeat it all week, to chew on it, to own that key. If you follow us on socials, you're going to see it. We're gonna put it on social media. You can save it as your screensaver on your phone. That's what I do when I'm learning a verse, is I make it my screensaver. So when I check my phone, which I do 1,000 times a day, that verse comes up. That's the verse I'm trying to learn. I put it places. And some of you are like, I've been in church a long time. That sounds so elementary school to me. No. I realize I need new levels of growth. I need new levels of access. I'm fighting new devils and I need new levels. I need more keys. I don't want to be locked out of what God has in this season. So we're going to lean into this series called Keys. And I want to encourage you to memorize it. Repeat it all week. Own the key. And I'll tell you this. You'll use it in your prayer for others. And you'll use it in your prayers for yourself. There are verses I use when people come to me for prayers for mental health, for physical health. When they pray for marriages, when they're praying for themselves, when they're praying for their kids, when they're praying. There are verses I have stored up in my spirit. I go, you know what? I'm not going to quote my experience or a quote. I'm going to come to you with the word of God. And we attach our faith to the word of God. God's not giving me a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. I pray for depression. And I pray for anxiety. And can I encourage you? There's a faith that comes when I own that verse for others and for myself. We want to put some keys that you will use in prayer times. You will use it in your own life. When you're battling at home, you're at a fork in the road going, God's a call for my life, but I'm being tempted to go another way. You don't need an experience. You don't need a quote. You need a key that will unlock new levels and fight new devils. Can someone say amen? That's what this series is. Let me go over today's key. We're going to put it on the screen. 1 John 1:9. 1 John 1:9. Let's put this verse up if you can. This is the key for this week. I encourage you to write this down. You're going to find it on social medias. And you're at a choice right now. I'm good. I believe we're in a season of growth. Can we read this together? Say it with me. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let me read that again. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. This is the key. And we believe whether you're new in the church or you've been in this a while, some of these keys, because we know I just feel God in service, and I know God's been good to me, but I believe there are keys. Instead of fumbling at a door going, what experience am I going to remember? What person am I going to quote? I believe we can get a key, and if Jesus needed the key, I believe there are keys for us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I had this commercial growing up. I watched a lot of TV. That's why I'm a little lenient on my kids because their TV just looks like a phone. But I don't know where my people are. I watched TV from after school till my parents got home from work. Like, I had a good solid 5 hours of watching TV. Man, I watched so much. Price is Right. Come on down. I just lost everybody under the age of 35 in this room. But I knew enough. Stay away from the soap operas. But Bob Barker and I'm telling you, and I'll tell you, and Columbo. Those were my shows. And the Rockford Files. Lost everybody in the room right there. What is that? Just know. I watched a lot of TV. There's this commercial growing up I used to love. It was Tide cleaning commercials. And they said this: there's no clean like Tide clean. You couldn't skip commercials. Now I pay on YouTube to skip commercials. You know what I'm talking about? You could not skip commercials. That's when you ran to the bathroom and got a snack, right? Because you knew there was going to be at least 4 minutes of commercials. But there's this one commercial, Tide commercial. I love this commercial. And it was always, there's no clean like Tide clean. And they'd get twins. They'd have twins of all different types wearing the exact same clothes. Maybe some of you remember these commercials. I remember they had these two guys, these two guys in their 20s, and they had all white on. And they looked the same. They were built the same. These two handsome guys in great shape, and they're standing there all in white. And the first guy's white looked white. Until you brought the other guy, his clothes was washed and tied next to him, and you realize his clothes weren't really white. They were kind of yellow. And you see it go, I thought his clothes was white. Until the guy comes next to him, washed and tied, and he was like glowing. He was like Mr. Clean, again, which was a commercial. But he was just like glowing. And then you're like, you know what? Your clothes aren't actually white. They're kind of off-white. There's like a tinge to them. There's no clean, like Tide clean. I think about that often when this verse here, put that verse back up for me, Dylan, if you can. I look at this verse. We confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Here's what I've learned about sin. Let's leave that verse up. I've learned this about sin, is that it hangs on. It hangs on. And it just, there's a tinge of it in our life so often. It's sneaky like that. And you confess the behavior, and you try to change your life, but sometimes it's still, there's a residue. And the challenge is, if you just look at your life to what it used to be, you think, I'm good. Or if you compare it to those that still have mud and grape stains. Remember there'd be like in the commercial there'd be grape stains and there'd be blood. Like if you have blood on your clothes, laundry probably isn't your first priority at that moment, right? But like people that are still covered in their dirt next to you, you think, man, I'm not where I was, but man, I'm good. But the Bible has this comparison when you puts up and it says he cleans us from all our unrighteousness, that there's clean and then there's God clean. This verse talks about getting clean. There's no clean like the blood of Jesus cleans. It's a grace that makes all the difference. Let me read two verses before this verse, our key verse. Let me read a verse before to give it some context. 1 John 1:7. It says, but if we are living in the light, as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. You need to know today the blood of Jesus is what makes us clean. The blood of Jesus is what makes us clean. Now, you need to know that sometimes what we do is we don't rely on the blood of Jesus to get clean. We rely on effort to get us clean. Now, I'm all a believer in hard work. Like, I believe in working hard. That's why there's a book of the Bible called Job. Thank you so much. I believe in hard work. The Bible says work out your salvation. So many people say, God, Jesus, take the wheel, and then they climb in the back seat and have a nap. No. I believe it's a partnership, that God does the work, but we partner with him. But sometimes, if we're not careful, we put it into effort. Let me show you what effort does in Galatians 2:16. Galatians 2:16, it says, yet we know that a person is made right with God by faith in Jesus Christ, not by obeying the law. Let me change that word. Not by working hard. By trying to behave. We have believed in Christ Jesus so that we might be able to be made right with God because of our faith in Christ, not because we have obeyed the law. For no one will ever be made right with God by obeying the law. Here's this picture between we're made, we are justified, we are cleansed from all our sin, unrighteousness by God, by our faith in God, versus working it out. in clothes, when you do laundry, when we get new clothes, we look at the tag. How do you wash this thing? I don't know if you do that. You look, how do you wash this thing? Because things are different. Some things you cannot iron. Some things are dry clean only. Some things cold water temperature. And so what happens is we try to clean things through effort. And some of us, like old school, and I've done it enough in my life on trips when I've lived around the world, is you've just got to scrub things. I've done my clothes in cold rivers for months at a time. And you are scrubbing at things. That's what works is like. If I can just get to church enough, if I can just be good enough, if I can put some money towards the legacy fund, if I can just show up 3 to 4 weeks, if I can stop swearing, if I can stop scrolling on those websites, if I can just avoid those chemicals, if I can just be good to that person that annoys me, if I can just try hard enough, and we're scrubbing at things, and we're scrubbing at things, and we're working at things, and we're trying things. And the Bible says here in Galatians, it's like you can't be cleansed by that. What happens is you'll get the outward stuff off, but there's still this tinge in your heart. Because why? Because sin is tricky like that. Right. Our verse for this week, this key verse, talks about it cleanses us from all unrighteousness. I want to encourage you to not neglect confession. We've neglected this in the church. We've neglected confession. We do really well at the first prayer of confession. How many times have you been in church with me or someone else? Every head bowed and every eye closed, and no one looking around. It's not a secret thing. It's just a private thing. It's not everybody in this room, but it's somebody in this room. On the count of three, you're going to put your hand up. When you do that, I'm going to see that. We're going to pray a prayer. And we have hundreds of people, thousands of people put their hand up. That first go, I'm at a moment where I can't solve this myself. I need a miracle from God. With every head bowed and every eye closed, on the count of three, and hands go up. And what happens is whether you come to a front or you pray where you are or by yourself in your car or maybe you're having a moment at home where you just say, God, forgive me for my sin. Would you come into my life? The Bible says if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart, a miracle happens. We do really well at the first prayer. We have a culture in the evangelical church. We do really well at the first prayer. We talk about how many people prayed the first prayer, and it's an important prayer, but somewhere we've neglected the culture of confession. Right. Our Catholic brothers and sisters, they have that culture. Nancy grew up in the Catholic Church, and you went to confessional. And there's confession, but why? Because there's a culture of, listen, like, this is a weekly thing. This is an often thing, like, because it'll build up if you don't go deal with it. And forgive me, Father, I have sinned. And you go to a man and you say, I need to confess my sins. We don't have to go to a man or a woman. We go to God himself. But somehow we've neglected this prayer of confession. We're good at the first prayer, but we don't do the consistent confession well. And if you don't know this, if you don't understand this verse, you can throw that verse up one more time for me. If you can throw this, if you don't understand that if we confess our sins, it's not a one-time event. Forgiveness is an event. You can pray a prayer, but purity is a process. I've known this. When I buy clothes, what's the first thing I do? Go home and wash them. But how many of you don't wash your clothes once, and then that's it for as long as you own those clothes? Because when you're out and you're doing things, man, you just get messy. And we are saints, but we sin. And the Bible says if you say you don't have sin, then you are a liar. You need to know today that your pastor sins. Yeah, I know. You sin. Our camera guys definitely sin in this room. And we get out there and stuff happens and you're out and you're trying to follow Jesus. So what do? You just don't pray this once. If we confess our sins, he is so faithful. We need to understand this. That's why this is a key verse. Because if you're going to follow Jesus, not just one Sunday, not just on Easter, not just on Christmas Eve, not just coming once going, okay, I'm good. And then you wonder why you feel dirty, you feel distant, you feel disconnected, you feel like you're locked out of access. It's because somewhere we've dropped the truth that confession is a lifestyle. Confession is a lifestyle. We've neglected the power. You feel distant today? If you don't, you will. If you've been in this for any amount of time, do you feel drift at all? No, I'm excited. Yeah, you're going to feel a drift. Then some are laughing, been in this for a while. Feel that drift. Go, man, I felt a drift. Yeah, that happens. You're going to feel like this dirt on you or this cringe on you or this tinge of sin. You do not have to stay that way. He has made a way where there seems to be no way. Go, I don't get the effort to work for this. You don't have to. We work not trying to get clean. We work out of a response of being clean. And because I feel clean and I have forgiveness, there is this relationship and partnership that I am a part of His. And I do what I do not to earn heaven, all because I am a part of heaven. And that changes everything. I'm going to walk through, if you have your Bible, turn to Psalm 32 before we go back into this verse, and we're going to be our theme verse for the week. I just want to go through how to confess. Now, if you're the type to take notes, maybe you need to go back and watch this again if you're not prepared to take notes. But I'll tell you, this is in my Bible. This is in my journal. I use this, if not daily, I use it weekly or biweekly, because there's something about confession that is good for the soul. The Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us. There is no feeling like being clean. You ever get into clean bed sheets? Ain't no feeling like clean bed sheets. You ever get into clean clothes? Am I the only one sometimes that drops your clothes and go, I'm just going to leave it there? And because it doesn't smell bad. I just wore it for 3 hours. You put it back on again. Is that Cooper hair? That's Cooper hair, right? When you get new, clean, nothing feels better than clean. If we confess our sins, He'll cleanse us. If you haven't felt cleansed from unrighteousness, there is nothing like the feeling of purity. And sometimes it's weight, and sometimes it's sin. And the Bible talks about it in Hebrews. It says, lay aside every weight and sin. And sin is what we pick up and do ourselves, that thing you watch or you say or you think or you do. But weight is what someone else puts on you. The weight of disappointment, the weight of abuse, the weight of attitude, the weight of whatever. And you want to feel clean? There's nothing like feeling clean when Jesus cleanses us from all of our unrighteousness. So let me just teach you real quick. It's going to be real quick of how to confess. Because it'd be a shame for me to tell you about the power of confession that we neglected. To talk about this verse that if we confess, and I don't show you how to do it. So almost like on the clothes of how do you do this? How do you wash your clothes? Well, you don't do this and you do this. Let me come from scripture of how to confess. Because we've not done a good job of this in the church. And it needs to be a part of our life. You're going to need it as a single. You're going to need it as a teenager. You're going to need it as a mom, a dad. You're going to need it as a senior. Be why? Because this is a lifestyle of coming back going, I want to be cleansed from all unrighteousness because there is no clean like God clean. Psalm 32 unpacks how to confess. I'm going to put the steps up behind me on the screen. And if you want to write these down or even screenshot these, take a picture of these, or if you want to go back and watch this, I had this written down in my Bible. It's in my notebook. I have it in my phone. And sometimes I'm like, why can't I get rid of this? I feel like I got this tinge on me. I feel like I'm clean compared to that person, but I feel like there's just this yellow slime on me. I feel like I'm not where I could be. And I go through this. I feel God take it and cleanses me from all my unrighteousness. Psalm 32, first step is be honest. Be honest. It says in Psalm 32, verse 2, yes, what a joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of guilt and whose lives are lived in complete honesty. The first step of confession, when I sit down to confess, is I'm honest. God, I've sinned and I'm far from You. There's something between us. I'm outside, I'm locked out right now. I know that You want me in, You've invited me in, You've adopted me in, but there's something I've picked up or it's been put on me that's between us, and I'm honest. It's not, let me just make this feel not so bad. You know, God, I just feel a little off, feel a little distant. No, God, I said these things. God, I thought these things. God, You know where I've fallen short. God, I want to be honest with You. Be honest. Be honest in prayer. You don't need to perform for God. He knows your life. He knows your heart. He knows everything about your life. There's no spin. There's no, let me clean this up so it's okay for everybody else to hear. In prayer, you're honest. God, I don't want to do this. This is what I've done. This is what I've heard. This is what I've been a part of. This is what I've picked up. This is what I've attached myself to. God, I want to be honest today. The second step in confession is see the damage of sin. Sometimes I don't know if we see the damage of sin. Look at what it says in Psalm 32 again in verse 3 and 4. When I refused to confess my sin, my body wasted away. I have that underlined in my Bible, wasted away. And I groaned all day long. Sometimes you ever feel like you just like, oh, you think about where your life's at. You think about some of the choices you've made and you're just like, oh, why did I do that? Why do I think that way? Why can't I shake that off of me? There's a groaned all day. Day and night, Your hand of discipline was heavy on me. My strength evaporated like water. You ever feel drained spiritually? You ever feel like you got no life in you? You ever feel like you're wasting away? Man, I used to be strong. Why do I feel like I'm deteriorating in my faith? Sin damages you. Here's what's amazing. It's like smoking. You don't think people know you smoke? We all can smell that you smoke.
Sometimes you think, no, I'm good. No one knows I'm suffering. No one knows that I'm not doing well. No, 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 no. The shine is off of you. The pureness is off of you. The confidence is off of you. Your confidence is wasting away. Your spirit is wasting away. Your strength is gone. You need to understand that sin kills the calling on your life. Kills the God-given destiny on your life. It's wasting you away. It's eating you up from the inside out. We need to see the damage of sin. So number one, be honest. Number two, see the damage of sin. Got to see it. God's got a call on your life. God's got people he wants you to help and reach. He's got excellent adventures and amazing closeness with his presence. There's nothing like feeling close to God. And sin damages it, disconnects it, erodes it. Point number three, confess it all. Confess it all. Be honest with where you're at. But number three, confess it all. Look at the first part of verse 5. Finally, I confessed all of my sins to you and stopped trying to hide my guilt. Confess it all. God can only handle this much. I'm going to save the rest for next time. Confess it all. There's a lot going on. I feel like I'm going to overwhelm God. I feel like I'm going to overwhelm this whole, like, there's only so much forgiveness. Man, I've been doing this for 20 years, doing this for 5 years. There's been a lot going on. I'm just going to give God a little bit. He can only handle so much. No, confess it all. Get rid of it all. I know this, that when they try to go after cancer in a body, they don't go, well, that's enough. Right. We got to go for lunch. Right. You know, like, this body can only handle so much surgery. They're like, no, it's going to be a 15-hour surgery. We got to go in and get it all. Because if we don't get it all, it'll reproduce. Right. Confess it all. Confess it all. Look at the next point, how to confess. Number four, I have these written down in places where I can go to it. You always can't get to a YouTube channel to find this. You got to write it down where you can find it. Let go and let God. Let go. That may sound obvious, but sometimes we want to hang on to things. The Bible says it's better to pluck out your eye than to lose the whole body. There's this imagery of let go of something that's killing you. Some of us need to let go of relationships, let go of mindsets, let go of something. Some of us, you think it'd be obvious, we want to hang on to the things that are killing us. Let go and let God. Look at the second part of verse 5. I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord, and you forgave me. All my guilt is gone. Let it go. Let the sin go, but you know what else goes? The guilt goes. Just let it go. And let God do what he does. Just let it go. There's at some point you have to actually let it go. God won't control you. He won't override your will. You have to just go, you know what? I let it go right now. Let it go. Number five, enjoy the kingdom. Oh, there's a great promise here. Enjoy the kingdom. Look at verse 8. The Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. And I will advise you and watch over you. Oh, I have that underlined in my Bible, the best pathway. You need to know there's a lot of paths. Robert Frost talked about two roads. There's a lot of paths and journeys and roads. There is the best one. And some of you got parents that are like, I know a plan for your life. And your parents love you, but no one loves you more than God. Some of you are like, I got an idea, man. I've been working on this strategy for this company and this business and this relationship, and it's good. But you know who loves you more than you? God. His pathway is the best. When I pray for my life, when I pray for my wife, when I pray for my kids, I'm like, God, your will be done. That's why the Lord's Prayer is so powerful. The problem with some of us is we don't think God's will is good for us. We think God's will is boring. We think it's stuck in like just endless religious services. We just see it as one dimensional of, oh God, your will for me is to be stuck in this boring life. No, if you understood how big God is, how adventurous he is, how powerful he is, his way is the best way. We had a story, I won't get into a conversation with our son this week who lives out west, and this opportunity. We just started smiling, going, we didn't see this coming. This is a great opportunity. It's just another step in his journey. Go, God, your way is the best. Enjoy the kingdom. When you confess, when you come back to God, when you, God again just wraps his arms around you and cleanses you and cleans you from all unrighteousness. It says there in verse 8, it says, he will guide you in the best pathway. Look at verse 11. So rejoice in the Lord and be glad, all who obey him. Shout for joy, all whose hearts are pure. Look at that. Shout for joy, all whose hearts are pure. There is a joy. I don't know the last time you were excited. I don't know the last time you shouted for joy. I don't know the last time you were overwhelmed with, this is amazing. I'm a part of this. There is no joy that comes from feeling pure. I'm not saying saved. I'm saying pure. We're so good at saying, God, I give you my life. Whether you were 5 on the edge of your bed like I was the first time I prayed that prayer. whether you did it in a service or somewhere else, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the coming back going, I got to confess. When I confess, you get rid of all unrighteousness. There's no feeling like being pure. Enjoy the kingdom. Can you put that verse up there? Enjoy the kingdom. Enjoy it. This life is enjoyable. Enjoyable. God has a plan that's so good for your life. He has the right college and the right career and the right relationship. He has the right adventures and vacation and work. He has the right people. It is so enjoyable to enjoy the kingdom of God. But sometimes you feel locked out from the enjoyment. There's a key. As we go back to our key verse, 1 John 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, this is what I'm memorizing right now. Would you join me this week in memorizing this? If we confess our sins, how do we confess? Psalm 32. That's not the only way to confess, but that's what Scripture teaches me. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We can live clean today. And when you're feeling under it, you feel impure, you feel distant, you feel locked out, you don't need to wait for a service, you don't need to wait for a podcast, you don't need to wait for the right song from your favorite band to be released, you don't need to wait for the sun to come out to be in the right mood, you don't need to go, if I can just get back to church, if I can just be consistent and earn it, if I can just lift more gear at church, if I can just serve more coffee, if I can just go help the homeless, if I can just go help those that are dealing with injustice, no, in that moment, you simply have to say, Lord, I confess my sin. It says there's a promise there that he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us, not from some of it, all of it. There is no clean like God clean. I want to pray for you today. We're going to sing this song in worship. Can we stand to our feet today? I just want to take a minute online. Don't tune out yet. In person, don't tune out yet. Can we respond right now in your own way? We're going to sing this song for a moment. But you take a moment and ask yourself, God, am I locked out? And secondly, thank you for the key. Thank you for the key that you cleanse us of all unrighteousness if I confess my sin. I want you to feel close to God today. I want you to feel pure. I want you to walk into a room and go, man, I feel clean today. I feel clean today. Father, I bless our church today. God, I thank you that we are going to new levels and we're going to deal with some new devils. And God, we thank you for what you've done in our lives 50 years ago, 20 years ago, 6 years ago. But our hope is not in experiences. God, I thank you for smart people and brilliant people, and I thank you for teachings and words. And God, but our hope is not in quotes. It's not in past sermons or podcasts or books. Father God, we put our hope right now that, Father, your word will not return void, that it's powerful. It's sharper. It can unlock things. It can change things. And God, we rely right now in your presence. You said if we confess, that you'll forgive. That's a promise. So God, would you forgive us right now? We confess. Confess it all. Father, we're honest today. God, we see the damage of sin. God, we give it to you all. We want to enjoy feeling pure today. Father, forgive us for our sins. Rush in right now with hope and joy. In Jesus' name. Come on, let's sing this song. Let's reflect on this moment and let God speak to you.
Here I stand, high in surrender.
memorize things all week, whether we know it or not. What would happen in the next 4 weeks if we just put one verse into our mind? There's things you're memorizing. Like, I've never heard it, but because of social trends, it's stuck in my head. How's it start? This ain't Texas. You know that social media trend, the new song? Oh gosh. And I'm like, why is that stuck in my head, that song? Why? Because of repetition. There is no formation of repetition. What would happen over the next 4 weeks? Instead of this, just on TikTok or just on Reels or just on whatever, what if we would say, I'm going to learn this verse? And then what at the end of the year? What if we added 10 verses to your life, 10 keys to your life, maybe 15 to your life over the next year, going, when I'm in the middle of it, I have that key to unlock new levels, fight old devils, and watch what God will do. Amen. Next Sunday in church, we have a special gift for you that will tie into this series you're going to enjoy to help you just lock in on what God wants to do. Amen. We love you. God bless you. Have an amazing Sunday. Church, we'll see you in service at Bella Rose next week. Have an amazing week.